late.
The most trusted and longest running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome to Sports Talk on this Friday afternoon with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It is Rocktoberfest here at Oak Ridge Nissan. And Jimmy, I think it only takes one word to describe the scene here at Oak Ridge Nissan, and that would be pandemonium.
It's always pandemonium here, isn't it? Yeah, there are a lot of folks here, and it just seems like at Oak Ridge Nissan they continue to set monthly records on the amount of vehicles sold. And they're I'm sure they're at it again. We'll get Scott Groff to tell us more about it. But they do a great job and so customer-friendly, and that's what allows them to be so successful.
So it's so easy to find. It's right where Illinois Avenue meets up with the Turnpike. How about rocking 40 miles to the gallon in a new Sentra starting at just $13,988? A new Rogue starts from only $18,788, and a new Altima starting at just $17,888. And whether you're heavy metal drives or not, get up to $9,000 on your trade-in or get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book. Bottom line, get more for yours, pay less for theirs here at Oak Ridge Nissan. And this is something that they do each month. They have a cause. This month they're donating $50 for every car sold to breast cancer in the battle. They've got the cure to save thousands, so now they're donating thousands to help find a cure for breast cancer. Again, it's where Illinois Avenue meets the Turnpike in Oak Ridge. Don't make a $10,000 mistake over a 10-minute drive. Make the short 10-minute drive from anywhere, and Jimmy, save
thousands of dollars.
That's right.
I'm getting that down.
And there's plenty to talk about in regards to football, but Jimmy, you just came from Tennessee's Basketball Media Day.
I did. Really enjoyed the Basketball Media Day. Loved the way they set it up. They had players and coaches at a variety of tables. I think we were able to knock out about seven interviews, and then Josh Ward and Chandler Emerson were also there to get some interviews, and so we will play those as we go. We'll touch on some of the highlights of what they said a little bit later. One of them I will mention was I visited with Euros Plavsic, and he said, look, I can't worry about the NCAA. I just have to go out and play and practice every day like I'm going to be eligible, like I'm part of this team. I cannot sit back and wonder what they're going to do. Certainly hopeful that he is going to be declared eligible, but he does not know yet. How many wins would he matter to them if he's eligible? I have no idea, but I've heard really good reports about what a good player he is. And he was telling me that, yes, he can shoot the three, but it's not like some European players that are 7 feet that want to live on the three-point line. He said, this team needs me inside more, and that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on rebounding. I'm focused on scoring inside. I'm focused on trying to be a defensive presence inside. So that's where this team needs me more. He said, I do believe I can step out and shoot the three, but that's not my main goal with this team right now.
So we will bring you comments from both head coaches in tomorrow's game at Neyland Stadium, and that'll be part of the Tennessee-Mississippi State preview. That'll be in the last hour of today's program. We'll have a football practice report with Eric Kane. We'll also have an injury update for the University of Tennessee. But before that, it'll be the pick segment. This week, Vol for Life, Mike Stoll joins us for hour number three. It's always entertaining when Mike visits, and then we'll have the Pigskin panel next hour. That'll be with TV's John Pennington, as well as Ball for Life, Will Overstreet. And a little bit later this hour, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. We are in week 8 of the high school football season.
Wow. Playoffs are just around the corner.
Just around the corner. That's right. 4 weeks away.
Yeah. So look forward to that. And Jesse always does a great job, and look forward to his preview of some of the key games this week.
So that'll be later here today on Sports Talk from Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue.
Let's get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, office technology. You need people you can trust. We mentioned about Tennessee Media Day. Let's touch on a few other things. Jalen Johnson had a chance to visit with him, and he said that, yes, he is patient. This is his fourth year. He really hasn't contributed a great deal. If he said I weren't patient, I wouldn't still be around here. He said that he wants to become a better shooter, a better scorer. He thinks that's his role for this team. And he was conscious of Rick Barnes saying because the three-point line has moved back, when you get in the corner, it's easy to step out of bounds. And Johnson said he is aware of that. He also said it took him a while to get adjusted to shooting the three. It's a little bit longer now than it was. And so he said that's been something that is couldn't just snap his fingers and be good at that. He's had to work to get better at that. Visit with Drew Pembers, product of Bearden High School. He said that his goal is to get bigger and stronger and look like the French Hulk.
Yeah.
Who's the French Hulk? Eve Pons. So Pons heard that and kind of laughed about it. But the Bearden Hulk said he's got a long way to go before he can get to the French Hulk's physique. Pons, by the way, said that he feels his big deal is he's got to score more. And he thinks that he, playing the forward position and inside, can be a mismatch against some of the teams that he goes against. But he said, I need to be more assertive. I need to be more aggressive. I've got to score more to help this team. Also, Jordan Bowden, local product, talked about being out at Carter High School and flipping the coin for the toss at the beginning of the game. We were there for that rivalry Thursday, John.
Sure were.
He said that he's learning to play point guard. He said he's got to really get after it because that's the hardest position on the team. And that head coach Rick Barnes, very demanding of his point guards. And also, I thought this was interesting. Bowden said he wishes he were left-handed because left-handers have a prettier shot. Now, when I asked Jalen Johnson about that, he says, well, Bowden can shoot with his left hand. He said, now, that may not be as pretty, but he can shoot with his left hand. But anyway, there's six lefties on this team, which is highly unusual. John Fulkerson said he needs to be a better scorer, a better rebounder, a better defender. You might remember against North Carolina, he was a freshman. He looked like he was about as good as anybody on the court. Then he had the labrum situation with his shoulder. That basically took him at least a year to get over it. But he feels like he has got to contribute more in all aspects with the inside game, considering Tennessee lost Grant Williams, Kyle Alexander, Admiral Schofield, as potential inside guys. He also said that since he's been there, Rick Barnes has done a great job of developing a culture of winning. And so that's this team is going to have to go into games believing it can win. And look, there are some games where Tennessee just won't have the inside presence or talent to deal with some of the folks that they play. So they're going to have to figure out ways to win. And I do like this coaching staff a lot. I think they can go a long way in that regard. But this is a very demanding schedule that Tennessee plays. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee to get to the NCAA tournament. I know there's some other people are picking them to be as high as a 5 seed or a 6 seed. That would be a brilliant coaching job if they can get to that. I think they're going to be closer to being a borderline NCAA team, but we shall see. A few other notes out there. Duke has been picked to win the ACC in basketball for the 4th year in a row, the 6th year of the last 7. Number 2 is North Carolina, then Louisville, then the defending national champ, Virginia, which lost a lot. Louisville's forward Jordan Wara is the preseason player of the year. The freshman of the year preseason, Cole Anthony from North Carolina. A few other notes out there with college football. We saw last night a victory, a 16-10 win by NC State over Syracuse. NC State's touchdown was scored on what would it was a double pass. It was actually a lateral to the guy that then threw a pass downfield. That was the only touchdown the Wolfpack scored. It was enough. And then at the end of the game, I thought of Tennessee and North Carolina in the Music City Bowl. Syracuse had an illegal procedure with less than 10 seconds left in the game. Guess what? 10-second runoff because the clock was running. Game over. So they did not get off a final play in those last 10 seconds. Another thing that came up, and we'll ask Gerald Hodges, our replay official and SEC rules expert on Monday night. So Syracuse is snapping the ball. They have a legal procedure. Apparently it was hard to hear the whistle because a lot of players kept playing. And then a North Carolina State player popped the Syracuse quarterback, Tommy DeVito, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, they're going to flag him for that. They didn't. Well, the Syracuse coach, Dino Babers, went nuts. There had been a game previously, maybe it was last week, similar situation, illegal procedure, a defender came in and popped the quarterback, threw a flag 15 yards. So how do you determine that? Because you could have certainly called that. But they let it go. And so I just wonder about the judgment on that and whether they feel like you give a player a little bit of a break if it's really loud and and maybe a lot of other players are still playing because they didn't hear the whistle. I don't know, but I thought that was an interesting situation late in that game. A few other notes. So Oklahoma has lost the last 3 games when it played Texas in the Red River Rivalry. I didn't want to sound like Heather. On
well
that one.
Done.
Yeah, had to slow it down.
You
sorry
crushed
that,
it,
Heather. So they've lost three in a row to Texas when Oklahoma entered this game undefeated. They've lost three in a row to them. I don't think that'll happen this time, but we'll see. Florida LSU, big game. Interesting number. Kyle Trask has the most fumbles when he's being sacked of any quarterback in the country. Four. And Florida also has lost 13 turnovers. On the flip side, they've got 26 sacks. They're fifth in the nation in points allowed, 10th in the nation in total defensive allowed, 276 yards a game. LSU leads the nation in points. They're second in yards. Also, Ole Miss is number two in the SEC in rushing, and they gained 415 yards against Vanderbilt. On the flip side, Missouri is 12th in the nation in run defense. They give up only 89 yards a game rushing and 2.8 yards a carry. But Missouri's going to be without their top linebacker, Cale Garrett. Texas A&M and Alabama. So A&M gets to face a number one team for the second time this season. That's only happened five times since the AP poll was out there. They previously played Clemson, and now Alabama's number one. So they get to play them. But, again, it's only happened five times that a team has played two number one teams the same season since 1936. How about this record for Alabama? 84-11 when they've been ranked number one going back over the last 50 years. 84-11. Not bad.
That's a pretty good winning percentage.
It sure is. So Georgia taking on South Carolina. The Bulldogs have allowed only one sack this year, no rushing touchdowns. I thought this stat was interesting. South Carolina held Kentucky to 90 yards passing on 32 pass attempts. That's pretty remarkable. I mean, you're looking at less than 3 yards a pass attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good right there. So we'll see how South Carolina's defense fares against Georgia. In the Big Ten, Penn State, get a load of this. 0-6 on the road against ranked teams under James Franklin. Iowa has lost its last six games when it was a matchup of ranked teams. So something's got to give.
Something does have to give.
Yeah, that one. Interesting deal here, because I remember UCLA had a receiver named Theo Howard, very highly touted receiver, very productive receiver. He's played in one game this year. He's going to redshirt and transfer. So he's taking advantage of the redshirt rule, redshirt and transfer. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he's only played one game, but he's out at UCLA, and he is a very talented receiver.
It does make you wonder, especially when you look at the production the last 2 years combined, and maybe it's just a doghouse situation, and who knows exactly what is at play.
Yeah.
But it's not as though the Bruins have been just so wildly successful that they had to stick with what was winning.
Maybe Chip Kelly thinks he's related to DeSean Jackson. Who knows?
Maybe.
Well, Big Ten has the top four defenses in the nation? Really? Penn State, Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio State are the top four defenses in the nation. Then if you go by ESPN's per schedule, taking the opposition strength, then the Big Ten has the number 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 9 defenses in the country. Now, maybe the defenses are that good. Maybe the offenses are not very good also. That might contribute to it. Baylor's trying to go 6-0. This surprised me. Trying to go 6-0 for the fourth time since 2013. That's a lot. That's a lot of 6-0 starts for the Baylor Bears. All right, a few other notes out there. Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros beat Tampa Bay 6-1. A four-run first inning was all Gerrit Cole needed.
Only four, though.
Yeah, only four. I'll take it. So will Gerrit Cole. He went eight innings.
Yes, he would.
Two hits, one run. Get a load of this. He has not lost since May the 22nd. Now, he hadn't won all 24 starts, but he hadn't lost any of them. That's pretty impressive. He also got 10 strikeouts, which is also impressive. Jose Altuve with a home run. He's got 11 postseason home runs. That's the most ever by a second baseman. And then so Houston will take on the Yankees. They have a combined 210 wins in the regular season. The Nationals take on the Cardinals in the other series. One note about this, and I don't know that this is going to make a big difference. Houston's bullpen ERA for the year, 3.75. The Yankees, 4.08. So, yes, Houston's bullpen based on ERA is better, but I think both bullpens have struggled a bit. And then Aroldis Chapman hurt his hand celebrating on the champagne bottle after the Yankees swept the Twins. I'm hoping he doesn't hurt his hand again, which means
that means he's not dealing with champagne.
That's right. There you go. So Anyway, Astros advance at third consecutive year. They're playing in the championship series to see if they can get to the World Series. In the NFL, New England beating the Giants 35-14. A lot of non-offensive touchdowns in that game. Patriots go to 6-0. They block a punt for a touchdown, fumble recovery for a touchdown. They've got five non-offensive touchdowns this year. That's more than Miami and the New York Jets have combined for offensive touchdowns. Those two have four combined offensive touchdowns. The Jets have five non-offensive touchdowns. New England, by the way, 19-0 against first or second year quarterbacks. The last rookie first round pick to beat New England, you got to back to 2009, Mark Sanchez with the Jets. And it was a non-butt fumble game.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Daniel Jones, by the way, threw three interceptions in that game. Tom Brady, 334 passing yards, no touchdowns, but two rushing touchdowns. He's been sacked seven times in the last two games. And this surprised me a little bit. This is New England's fourth time in history they've started 6-0. They've been so good, I guess I thought they would have had more starts like that.
I would agree.
Rams cancel practice due to 55-mile-per-hour wind. I guess you can't throw the ball when the wind's like that. Cincinnati coach Zach Taylor said he is not trading wide receiver A.J. Green. Jags owner says cornerback Jalen Ramsey will play against New Orleans. Robert Kraft, New England owner, said he hopes and prays that he can get Rob Gronkowski back. Gronkowski has not filed retirement papers. Do you read anything into that?
No.
So you don't think he'll come back?
I don't think so. I think he's moved on. But, I mean, I would say never say never, but if I were to pick for him, I think he has moved on.
He's so unpredictable, I don't know how to predict him.
He is unpredictable.
So
I'm taking a risk predicting.
The NBA, so I thought this note was interesting. New Orleans Pelicans are going to be on national TV 30 times. That's a whole lot more than they were with Anthony Davis.
It's because people love Zion.
Zion fever. I looked at their roster, and they have some nice players. Their over-under win projection is 38.5. They've had more than 38 wins in two of the last 8 years. But they've got J.J. Redick. They got Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Jackson Hayes, the rookie from Texas they drafted, Derek Favors, Josh Hart, Okafor, who used to play at Duke. I look at that and I think Williamson better be darn good or they're going to have trouble getting to 41 wins, which would be a 500 season. So then one other quick note on golf. Evan Woosley Reed, the son of Tiffany Woosley, former Lady Vol guard, he won the state small class golf tournament as a sophomore. Now, this was played a little while back, but I just saw this. He shot a 65 in the final round for 7-under. He had a two-day total of 6-under. And he's a sophomore at Cascade High School outside of Nashville. He's already committed to Tennessee. So they can look forward to getting Lady Vol, son of a former Lady Vol. Now, he was second last year in 2018 to Alcoa's Brandon Weir, who won it in 2018 but was third this year. So we'll continue to follow. And Simone Biles, she wins her fifth all-around at the Worlds. That is her 22nd medal. She's one behind the all-time leader, which is 23. And then the Washington Mystics defeat Connecticut. They win their first WNBA title. Elena Deladon played with three herniated discs in her back. How do you do that? 21 points, 9 rebounds as the Mystics win the WNBA title.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We've got a lot coming your way today on Sports Talk, and we're here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where it's Rocktoberfest. Take advantage of great sales. Get up to $9,000 on your trade-in, whether that heavy metal drives or not. Get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book. Bottom line, get more for yours, pay less for theirs here at Oak Ridge Nissan. This is Sports Talk.
You want peace and quiet? Better look somewhere else. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Let's check in with Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, John. Jimmy, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing well, thank you.
Cool. I just want to tell you on my birthday, Sunday, my birthday, Sunday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I just want to talk to y'all. I don't get to call you tomorrow, but I just want to tell you that first. I just wanted to ask y'all about the game tomorrow. I hope they can get one for my birthday. It'd be a good birthday from the win, too, tomorrow. I hope they can win from a birthday because they won last year. So I hope I can do it again tomorrow, hopefully. And,
that's what I was thinking, the team plays well around your birthday, so I hope they do so again.
Yeah, me too, hopefully.
I always remember what you do on Roger's birthday.
You're right, Jimmy, you're right. So see what happened with that. And I just wanted to ask y'all about the game tomorrow. Y'all feel pretty good about the Tennessee win tomorrow? How you feel about it tomorrow?
I feel good about Tennessee having a chance to win tomorrow. Right now, still kind of leaning towards Mississippi State, but at the same time, I've been wrong before, and I still have, I think, about an hour and a half to change my mind.
Roger, one of the things what concerns me is that Tennessee's offensive line is going to – I don't know if they're going to have Jameer Johnson back. I don't believe Riley Locklear is going to play. You had three offensive linemen that came out of the game against Georgia. They're banged up. Kennedy didn't go through drills on Wednesday because of a bruised knee. Those things concern me. And so, I think the offensive line will struggle against not a great but a pretty good defense. And I just don't know that Tennessee, basically at the line of scrimmage, is good enough. I also think a running quarterback gives them fits. So I think Schrader could be more valuable to Mississippi State than Stevens. And I'll say this, I'll be very surprised if anybody at Mississippi State is suspended for this game. I think they have calculated games that they believe are more winnable than others. They suspended nobody for the Kentucky game. And my guess is they won't suspend anybody for the Tennessee game unless the guy's injured and they suspend him because he's hurt. They got 10 players that have to be suspended for a total of 8 games. So I think Tennessee will see Mississippi State's full complement of healthy players.
All right, I got you. And also, for Brian Miner, I know he thought and just wanted to ask you, Don Jimmy, how y'all see him before he called? For complex, do you think it could be? Do you think he forwards open the complex? Do you think it'd be? Do you think open up for him, or do you think it'd be similar to last weekend, or think it'd be open more for him tomorrow for Brian?
Well, I don't think that Mississippi State's personnel is as talented as Georgia's. At the same time, I do think that Mississippi State has a defensive coordinator that will put different looks together that will try and keep Tennessee's young quarterback off balance. So I think, Jimmy, that Mississippi State's probably going to do a lot to confuse him, and so I'll be interested to see exactly how well he does. Not playing as talented a defense, but certainly playing one that can scheme him up just like Georgia did.
It can. And now entering the game, they give up about 100 more yards rushing per game than what Georgia did. I wonder if Tennessee might look and say, hey, we're going to use Maurer a little bit more in the run game. I don't remember any call runs, that many RPOs with him against Georgia. So I wonder if they might try to utilize his legs a little bit more against Mississippi State because Mississippi State's run defense is not as good as Georgia's.
Right. I got you. And also real quick, John, about Titan games Sunday. I hope they win Sunday, hopefully, and my birthday. John, how you think? I know they lost last weekend, but you think Titans can win Sunday?
Well, they're playing at Denver, and so I think that you look at that and the fact that they've also done well every other game. After game three, it's been game bad, good game bad, so it's time for the Titans to play a good game. So I think that they'll be in a good position to get a win on Sunday. Hey, Roger, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, Sunday. And hopefully all your teams win this weekend starting, and Central's open tonight. So the Bobcats, they've already won. That was last week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, after a break, we'll be back with Jesse Smithy of FiveStarPreps.com. His sports talk today is at Oak Ridge Nissan. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It's week 8 of high school football, and it started last night with Austin East becoming the first team to knock off Gatlinburg-Pittman this year, as the Highlanders had made it all the way up to number 4 in the state in 3A football. Joining us now, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, John. How about yourself?
Doing quite well. So we've made it to what is a huge open date. Did you? Can you remember so many schools being off in a particular week like they are this week?
I can't remember a specific week, but usually schools tend to gravitate towards a certain week, and it just so happened to be this one. I believe maybe 130 schools across the state are taking a bye week this week, so there are a number of teams absent from the list of games tonight, and still got some good marquee matchups to cover, and like you mentioned, one of those was last night down in Gatlinburg, but it's a very light schedule tonight as everybody kind of rests up for this last leg of the regular season.
Yeah, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand with fall break. But,
sure.
But with what we saw last night, speak to the Roadrunners. Stumbled out of the gate 0-2, but they've won 5 of their last 6, and Coach Phillips has the Roadrunners running, doesn't he?
To watch them now compared to what I saw in week 1 against Webb, it's night and day. Really the first 2 weeks of the season when they couldn't even put a point on the board. And this was a team that had an all-state caliber quarterback coming back. They had an all-state caliber skill players, and just to watch them stumble out of the gate was very unexpected. But for them to go on the road last night into Gatlinburg, a team that is built for playoff success, that has great line play, great quarterback play, one of the area's top running backs, and go in there and win that football game the way they did, speaks to the improvement that Austin East has made really over the last handful of weeks. Like you said, now they're 5-3. They're in the number 2 spot in the region standings. Looking ahead to their schedule, they're not going to lose another game here in the regular season in terms of region play. So Austin East has gone from really kind of not forgotten about, but a lot of question marks above its program's name, to now a firm number 2 seed going into the 3A playoffs. And it's just a great coaching job, bud. That Pittman did not have probably one of their top playmakers last night on offense or defense. Carlitos Lopez, who's one of the area's better receivers and defensive backs, was not there last night. He had been ejected in a previous game and had to sit out last night, and I thought they missed him greatly. The offense sputtered at times. Throwing the football, and his downfield capability on offense was sorely missed, and made Bryce Akey a little bit easier to defend out of the backfield. So no excuses. Austin East played a great game, but I know Gatlinburg-Pittman wish they would have had their full array of players last night.
What's changed about the Austin East offense? Is the quarterback playing better? Did they have some injured players that returned? Did they change something on offense? Jesse, what is it? How did they get that turned around?
I think you do see better quarterback play out of Trey Foster. I think early in the season he was trying to maybe press a little bit and be the superstar that everybody had kind of pegged him to be. And having watched him in those first couple of games, he just didn't look himself. The balls weren't coming out of his hand at a nice trajectory. They were kind of nosediving. And I don't know, I just feel like he was out of sorts the first few weeks. And you could tell. And Isaiah Ligon was kind of a disappearing act out of the backfield, and then you see him rush for over 270 yards last night. So it was just Austin East not being on point at the first few weeks of the season. I don't think they really changed anything, because Trey Foster is still playing the way that he does, running the football and making the big plays through the air when he needs to. And I just feel like there was a team that just did not start well to the 2019 season, maybe lost a little bit of confidence, and just needed a couple wins to get it back going. And I think you could probably trace it back to that big win over Fulton when they dropped 70 points and Trey Foster had 8 touchdowns that really proved to be the catalyst for this turnaround of their season.
So Bradley Central's 5-1. They go to Maryville 6-0. The Maryville quarterback, Cade Chambers, 5 touchdown passes last week. Running back T. Hodge is still battling turf toe. One, do you think Bradley Central can test Maryville? And secondly, do you think T. Hodge plays?
I do think Bradley Central can test Maryville. Now, how long they will hang around tonight, that remains to be seen. But Bradley Central is a team that really should be undefeated right now. They let a game slip away in week one against Farragut, one in which they had a double-digit lead, and they have a McCauley transfer at quarterback who's kind of taken this program into a different level of play this year. And he's got great skill talent around him, and this is a Bradley Central team that puts up a lot of points. So Maryville has a great defense. I think we all know that, looking back to what they did to Alcoa just a few weeks ago and keeping Alcoa out of the end zone for the first time in 5 years. That's a big feather in the cap for Maryville to kind of flaunt and boast about. So I think Maryville will be prepared for this game. It's really been hard, though, Jimmy, to get a gauge on T. Hodges' turf toe. Derek Hunt, the head coach, told us a couple of weeks ago that he didn't think it was bad as T. Hodges' turf toe case from a year ago. But here we are, you know, 3 weeks deep into this thing, and he's still not playing. Now, I think a lot of that is probably precautionary measures, given the teams that they were playing and knowing that they didn't need T. Hodges to play in that game to win the football game, because they do have an outstanding talent in Parker McGill at running back that they can use when T. Hodges is out. So Maryville's built for the long haul. They're there to win state championships, and they want T. Hodges to be a part of that come November. So if they can keep him out an extra week and give him some extra rest, I think they would do that. But tonight, it needs to be all hands on deck, and we'll see if T. Hodges is able to go.
Farragut's 3-3 after a comeback win over Science Hill, and they go to Dobbins-Bennett, which is undefeated. Dobbins-Bennett has posted three straight shutouts. What chances do the Admirals have on the road?
I actually like Farragut's chances tonight. I predicted them to upset Dobbins-Bennett, and I'm doing so even with Matt White out of the lineup still for Farragut High School. Matt White has kind of proved himself to be one of the area's better running backs through the first 3 or 4 weeks, and he's been hurt and still on the mend, and told me he won't be back for another week or two. But Farragut was able to really manufacture offense and manufacture points against a good Maryville team and move the ball even without Matt White. And I think that gives this team a little bit of confidence. I think Gavin Wilkinson, the quarterback at Farragut, has kind of found his rhythm again and starting to produce a little bit with his wide receivers. So I like Farragut's chances to get this upset tonight. But Dobbins-Bennett is markedly improved from what they have been over the last handful of years. And I know that excites a lot of people up in the Tri-Cities area. But for some reason, Jimmy, I just have a gut feeling that Farragut might pull off this upset tonight.
Jesse, you guys do such a great job covering all high school sports, but you also do a great job of showcasing who is going to go where for their next level of competition. And as you talked about, there are a lot of SEC schools that are making visits to Knoxville. In fact, we even saw a local area freshman offered by Mississippi State this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Greenback offensive lineman Tyler Jeffries, a player that we've been high on all year and have kind of mentioned here and there on our website, pulled in an offer from Mississippi State yesterday, and that's his first big-time Power 5 offer. And we saw that happen with Adarius Redmond, the wide receiver, the freshman out at Powell, who got a Kentucky offer. And Louisville has come into the area as well and has started to offer people. So there are a number of players in this area who are getting looks at. And I know the Tennessee fan base here probably gets a little agitated when they see that SEC schools are coming in and offering their guys and there hadn't been a Tennessee offer next to them. But that's just kind of the way it is right now. Some of these schools try to get a leg up on Tennessee in their backyard and put the offer in first and kind of force Tennessee's hand.
Not only is it the stretch drive for football, as there are 3 weeks remaining after tonight in the regular season, but boy, things are really fired up in soccer and in volleyball. If you would, just give us a couple of teams to watch in each sport.
Yeah, I mean, we're focusing on volleyball and soccer and cross country and all that right now. State golf as well. We got it all kind of covered on 5starpreps.com. And Maryville was able to knock off Farragut last night in district volleyball and get a one seed for region play next week. And Farragut had to win a 5-set match against Heritage, who had an unbelievable year last year. And Farragut had to go 5 sets last night just to reach the final to extend their season and face off against Maryville. And so those teams both advanced. And West High School and Oak Ridge battled in District 4 AAA last night, with Oak Ridge winning, I believe, its fourth consecutive district volleyball championship. And They have some fantastic players that we've written about this year. And so it's all kind of coming to a head. I think region play for volleyball is next week. And you got district soccer that's getting ready to start up very, very soon. And Bearden High School in soccer has been one of the area's best teams to write about. And they took care of Oak Ridge, I think 6-1 the other night. Oak Ridge soccer has had a very, very good year, double-digit wins, and had won their district. So that was kind of a preview, I think, of maybe a playoff match to come. But those are just a few teams that we're kind of targeting, keeping an eye on for this postseason in volleyball and soccer.
Jesse, Catholic should handle West Green tonight, but I was wondering if you think Catholic's win over Brentwood Academy last Thursday will jumpstart this team to where it will roll over these next few weeks.
Yeah, I would think so, Jimmy. I mean, anytime you beat Brentwood Academy, a four-time defending state champion, you do it with a sophomore quarterback in Caden Martin, and you do it on national TV. I can't think that's going to hurt you in any way. It's just, can they stay healthy enough? We've seen a number of their players relegated to the sidelines over a concussion protocol or what have you. So they need to stay healthy here on this home stretch of the season. And we try to catch up with Steve Matthews this week and kind of get an idea of what their playoff picture looks like. And they know it's not a guaranteed thing right now at Catholic High School that they're in the playoffs. And there's some very big games coming up after this West Green game tonight, and namely being Baylor and having to play at Baylor next Friday night. And, of course, Baylor gave number one McCauley everything that they wanted a week ago. And, of course, Baylor has Elijah Howard, the running back commitment for Tennessee, who was at Webb School of Knoxville, and now he's the superstar player down at Baylor. And so it's going to be a very tall order for Catholic to finish the season strong. They also have Father Ryan and Brentwood that they have to play as well.
How do you see what I think is a compelling matchup tonight at Bearden? It's the game that will be heard on AM 990, and that is the Bulldogs playing host to Jefferson County. Patriots got off to a great start. Bearden now healthier and just coming off its first win of the season and a big region win.
Yeah, and Josh Warden, I talked with Morgan Schindlever, the head coach at Bearden, on Prep Sports Tonight on Wednesday night, and we discussed this potential turnaround for Bearden. You look back at the first five teams that they played in the first half of the season, and they had a combined 25-1 record, and they were having to do so without Colin Ironside, their senior starting quarterback, who was injured, I think, after the West game, and just was not able to play. And so Bearden was trying to knock off these big-time premier programs with a freshman quarterback, and that's difficult to do. And not just a freshman quarterback, but they had six or seven other starters who were out and injured, and so they're all back now. And so it's a very timely return to the lineup for Bearden, as they have some games coming up that could really catapult them up the region standings. A big game tonight against Jefferson County that I think is very winnable for this Bearden team. And then they turn around next week and play rival Farragut on Thursday night. So if Bearden can somehow manufacture two wins in these 2 weeks right here, they can make a significant jump in the playoff picture in 6A and improve their seating and their standing for the playoffs.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Where will you be live tonight, and what games will you be attending?
We'll be out at Greenback at Coalfield tonight. We're doing a little small school football tonight, and Greenback got some premier talent like we discussed, and that's a big-time rivalry game, and so we're going to make the trek up to Coalfield tonight.
All right. Well, hope everything goes well this weekend. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you. This is Jesse Smith, the 5starpreps.com. We'll get a break. A final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk is next.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk. The program today is at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. And there's no doubt about it, the joint is jumping, the place is rocking, and cars are rolling off the lot as we're joined by Scott Gropp. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good, John. I'm telling you, things are rolling. You're exactly right. How you doing, brother?
Doing quite well. You look to be the picture of health.
I'm telling you, Rocktoberfest. We're rocking here and picking up where we left off. Of course, thank you, Sports Talk listeners. Last month, making us number one again in the southeast over here. And I'll tell you, East Tennessee, we love you. And I'll tell you, I everywhere I go, it's just crazy how many Sports Talk listeners there are that know us, just our affiliation with you guys. So, and they come in here and they're buying cars like crazy. So, I guess they want to save thousands of dollars. They make me do it, by the way. Out in public, they make me do it. Restaurants everywhere. So,
churches, like, funerals.
They like pandemonium.
Scott, you're going to donate $50 for every car sold to breast cancer awareness. Talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. And like as I have been saying, it's a win-win. You're not only going to get your best deal on a new Nissan. You guys, all East Tennessee knows when you want the best price on a new Nissan, you come to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and get to Oak Ridge Nissan, and then I'm going to put more in the trade. But now it's another win, you know, $50. We sold 240 cars, so I don't know what that's well over 10,000. Thousands of dollars that we're going to, we found the cure to save thousands. Now we're going to find the cure for breast cancer. And it's something we are very privileged to do each and every year. And so, East Tennessee, come on, you know, we're going to, we'll take the meat off the bone, give you half the bone, and still put that $50 towards every car that we sell towards the cure.
So if somebody's listening via the app in Bangladesh, how long will it take them to get here?
You know, boy, that's my specialty. It's always 10 minutes from Bangladesh. I don't care where you are. It's a 10-minute drive to save thousands of dollars. In fact, someone came from Sevierville and said, you know, the only thing that was wrong was, and it was a nice young lady, and I said everything went well. She said everything was great, but I just wanted to share one thing. And she goes, it's... wasn't 10 minutes. I said, really? Where'd you come from? She goes, Sevierville. I said, give her another tank of gas. Pandemonium.
That's right. And it's Rocktoberfest. Come see Scott, who's rocking the sideburns. Well done. Scott, thank you so much. We'll
thanks,
talk to
guys.
You next hour.
All righty.
We'll
you.
Get a break. Up next, it's the Pigskin Panel as Sports Talk continues from Oak Ridge Nissan.